Blog Talk Radio.
Believe, like he said himself, if you believe not that I am he,
your die in your sins. He is the Messiah that Moses wrote about should come. So there's only one. You're only going to see one. Amen. He was the one that done it all by himself. He is the God of the Old Testament, which he was concealed, and the God of the New Testament, which he is revealed. And that's the greatest mystery of all time. Amen. And that's why we read the scripture. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It was a hidden truth. And the writer says that God, who is the subject, was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So we started off here. We were in the book of the Acts of the Apostles for quite a while, and then we ventured off into the book of Romans. No, you got to go through Acts before you hop over in the epistles, which are the letters to the church. And these letters that were written to the Romans were written to believers, people who have already been born again. So you just can't confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. He's talking about people who are already saved. And we have been talking about justification the first couple of weeks. We're talking about he is the God not only of the Jews, but also, as Apostle Paul said when he wrote, of the Gentiles also. And we ventured on into the fourth chapter, when we talked about Abraham and talked about being justified by his works. And he believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness. Then we went on the fifth chapter as a continuation of the fourth chapter when it starts off with the very words, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God, of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation. He goes on to say, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. And for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we can see here, the subject is God, the subject is Christ, it's one and the same. So we know that Christ is the anointed one, who is the subject who the apostle is talking about here, when he said that Christ died, and how we're going to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the self-same one that he is talking about here. So we thank God for the truth. So this is why it's a great mystery to some. They don't understand that Jesus came in a human body. And we know that he was, gave his life to take away the sins of the world. He became the sacrifice. It wasn't possible. The Bible said, but the blood of bulls and goats and heifers should take away sins, but Christ becoming our high priest by a new and living way. And he went into the presence of God and took away sins, the Bible said, by the sacrifice of himself. So he was the sacrificial lamb. He was the good shepherd. It's like he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, as he said there in St. John. And he was saying, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So nobody can speak like that. Nobody else want to give their life, not even people nowadays. These people are being deceived. These so-called folks that are martyrs are being deceived, giving their life. You don't have to give your life. And the Bible said that if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, which is simply saying that Jesus is not going to go back to the cross and die again. He done it once, as the Hebrew writer said. He did it once when he put away sin by the sacrifice himself, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So he's conquered death, hell, and the grave. He got up from the dead, just like the elder said on last week. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and look at me. He said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. So we know that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. So he gave his life. He's the propitiation for our sins, as the writer said, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So that's what it's all about. This what we are trying to talk about, justification. We're going to move on also in the sixth chapter of Romans, as we began on last week, so we'll just be picking up from there. But it's so good to be able to get into the Word of God, to rightly divide the Word of truth, as Paul told Timothy. You a minister? He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, not to men. And he said, the workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So today, we're going to move on. And also, I have my co-host on today in the person of Elder David Clifton. And also, our historian, Elder Ryan Fountain. We're all going to get into the perfect law of liberty. So we're going to start off with our food for thought, Elder David Clifton.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I just real brief here. Something just came to my mind is out of Colossians chapter number 3. Beginning at verse number 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So there was an old man, and there is a new man. And that is something that we're actually going to discuss today in the book of Romans. And I say to you all, if you are indeed a born-again Christian, or if you are saved, or if you have been converted, or whatever word you want to put, you a child of God, you must have put off the old man and all the deeds that belong to that old man, and you must put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. That word concupiscence, that's a lot of people, evil concupiscence, they said that's the illicit sex acts.
Uh-huh.
So folks are doing all kinds of things. They're doing stuff worse than dogs, than humans. Because
yes.
If you get hell in you, which is the devil, and a hell attitude, you would do anything.
Uh-huh.
And they'd say, nobody's going to judge me, you know. But that's a wrong kind of attitude to have. So we're going to...
And you know, the funny thing is I was reading yesterday, I was back in the book of Leviticus, and a lot of these... I guess you would call them unlawful acts of sex that people are doing nowadays, and we seeing them. These things were mentioned back in the book of Leviticus, you know, men lying with men as they lie with women, or men lying with animals.
Exactly, beasts.
Beasts. These things are not new. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, so we think these things are new. Number one, they're not new. But also, you have to understand that these things are an abomination to the Lord.
Yes.
They were back then, and they still are.
Yes.
So we need to come clean. We need to get all this stuff. We got all these people. You know, I'm hearing more and more of these brothers that's supposed to be preachers, or whether they priest or whatever, you know, messing with little boys and all this stuff. We shouldn't be surprised because these things aren't new. But I would say to anyone out there that is under a man that has fallen under something like this, you need to get from under that mess.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, and then so what I always say, matters not, because we shouldn't be, like, just like Elder Clifton just said, shouldn't be surprised. But what the question is it true or is it false?
Uh-huh.
And if somebody makes an accusation against me, or what they call it when they when you're not charged, but when they accuse you, I forget the term they call it. But anyway, I don't need no lawyer to speak for me on that. I come out and rebuke it and say it's a lie.
It's a lie.
If it's a lie, what folks are silent, yeah, for a reason. Elder Fountain.
Amen.
Alleged. That's it. Yeah. It's alleged.
We will.
Yeah.
All right. Let me take it in a different direction. In Philippians, second chapter, in the third verse, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now, let me stop right here. The only way you can be equal with God is that he was God.
Amen.
And he was the God. Amen.
Amen.
Put himself in a human body. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant,
mm-hmm.
and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And I just want to say that we need to put the mind that was in Christ, which was being a humble man, we have to put on humility, and we have to think as servants in this lifetime. If you really want to walk with God, you have to learn how to serve God, and you also have to learn how to serve others and being subject to those that are rulers over you, and true rulers, those that God has put in place in leadership. We have to learn to be subject unto them and not to fight against the pricks, amen?
Right, yeah, because if a man is truly a man of God, like the last words of David, the king, before he died, he said, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God."
Mm-hmm.
So even, and we're not hard, we're hard against hypocrites, mm-hmm. more than anything. That's what Jesus had his problem with religious people. We're not, if you messed up, come clean. That's just the point. People don't want to come clean, and I'm not afraid to say, if the Lord should catch away his bride, which is the church, take the church away, as we call the rapture, we'd be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And these folks who ain't right, they ain't going nowhere, because God wants you to be clean. And we see the example of what we really should be, and that's the 51st Psalm. And that was David the king, after Nathan the prophet had came to him and exposed his sin. And David cried out, "Have mercy upon me, O God, you know, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, you know, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me." He went on to say, "Against thee, and that thee only have I done this wickedness," you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have to have, that kind of attitude. I don't care what everybody else is doing, and I'm not rejoicing in nobody falling or going down. But, Lord, help me. That's the attitude we got to have. Like I said, you which are spiritual, restore. If any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
These folks, you know, when every man is tempted, the Bible said, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, when lust is finished, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. So we're going to talk about that even in the book, the sixth chapter of Romans, as we venture off into there. So our responsibility, the Bible tells us, to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And I'm thoroughly convinced that our worst enemy is not the devil, but the worst enemy is the one you're looking at in the mirror, and that's yourself. Because the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee. It didn't tell us to run. He would do, like somebody said, the devil left running because walking was too slow. You know who said that.
Amen.
Yeah, so we're going to move on, and we're going to venture off into, we had already started off into the sixth chapter of Romans, because we've been trying to talk about justification and sanctification and our own enemy, ourselves, and all of that. So we're going to give you in the hands right now of Elder Ryan Fountain, and he's going to venture off into the sixth chapter of Romans.
Amen. So now, as Elder Cannon said, we are in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. This is the epistle that Paul has written, just to give a recap. This is the epistle that Paul has written to the church that was established on the day of Pentecost. As of this writing, he had not yet been to Rome. He said he wanted to come unto them, and he was looking forward to it. And this is considered Paul's masterpiece because he deals with all the fall of man, how man failed in every aspect throughout from the beginning of time, from Adam on down, and that men were not justified by the law, but now grace, which has come after the law through Jesus Christ, you now are able to be justified through his blood. Amen? So, we are seeing now in the sixth chapter that you have to be in Christ. You have to be baptized into Jesus' death. Amen?
Uh-huh.
And once you are baptized into death, all your sins are put away. So you should no longer continue in sin. This goes directly against the teaching of once saved, always saved.
Yeah.
And they say that no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand, as Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the book of John, but you can always jump out of his hand, and you can lose your soul on your own. Like you said, your worst enemy is yourself. And if you get high-minded and you start losing that humility and the mind of Christ, you will go off and be a reprobate mind, and you will no longer be justified by the blood of Jesus, but you will be justified by your own mind. Amen?
Yes.
So, this is what he's talking about. He says, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. But once you are baptized into Jesus Christ, you are baptized into his death, and you are receiving the newness of life through the Holy Ghost. That is, as it says in the book of Ephesians, that is the earnest of eternal life.
Yeah.
It is the down payment for our eternal life. So you actually have eternal life when you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. So now moving on, I believe we're about in the 8th verse, but we shall read the 6th verse. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So if you die in Christ, you will be resurrected just as Christ was. That right in there, being part of the rapture is part of the resurrection. If you don't believe in the rapture, you don't truly believe in the resurrection. There's no way you can believe in the resurrection because the rapture is part of the resurrection.
Yeah.
I know the word rapture is not in your Bible anywhere, but the teaching of the rapture is there.
Yeah.
The catching away of the church to meet with the Lord in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
As it says in both books of Thessalonians, written to Thessalonians, written by Paul. That's what his main subject was in both of his epistles to them, was that they were going to be caught up with the Lord.
Right.
So, and also John in the 4th chapter of Revelation describes how that scene will take place when the church is in heaven.
Right.
So now, we will live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And that word liveth, you got to be careful that that word liveth is an everlasting liveth. That suffix E-T-H means it's a continual thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a continual action. That is why old English is different from New English, and that they have this suffix in there that it's a continual action. So it says that he liveth, so he continually liveth. He no longer will die. He's an everlasting life. Amen?
Amen.
So he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, when you are living under God, your members are though the extensions of your body, your arms, your fingers, your feet, your mouth, your head, your eyes, all of those things should be used as instruments of righteousness rather than unrighteousness. I know there was a time when we used to walk in our lust, and we used our hands for all types of things. We used our feet for all types of things. We used to go into places and see different things that were all unrighteous and ungodly. But now, once we are filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with the newness of life, we no longer should be wanting to desire those things.
Yeah.
Those lusts should be gone, because our new desire should be living under God and using our members as instruments of God.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes. And we should, and that's what he says, that we should likewise reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin.
Yeah.
Which means if we're dead, that it simply means we're not alive to it. We're not going to entertain those things anymore. Those things are not going to have dominion over us, as we're going to continue to read. And that kind of goes back to the beginning of chapter 6, when he says that we have been buried with Christ. See, we are likened to the death of Christ. And that's something that we need to bring out. If we want to be raised as Christ was raised, we have to be buried like Christ was raised. And we understand that Christ died. That is what we do with dead people. So if you die unto sin, you actually have to be buried. And that's where the baptism comes into effect. And it's something that we can't downplay, because a lot of people say that it's a ritual, if you will. It's an outward confession of your faith. But indeed, it is absolutely necessary. If you are going to be dead, dead people are buried. So that's why we talk about the new birth. When you die, you have to be born again. And now you are no longer a servant of sin, but you are a servant of righteousness. Then those things which are called sin should not be named amongst us, and that is why we should serve righteousness. So that is another reason that we cannot teach and believe in eternal salvation, because this is a choice. It's not that we cannot sin anymore, but we should not want to. Our members should not want to go to those things anymore. But it's possible. So as we go on, we're going to see that it is possible, and we're going to see that if we want to go that direction, that there is something, wages, if you will, that we will earn for those things. See, there's something that you could earn for righteous living, and there's something that you can earn for unrighteous living. So we do have a choice to serve God. But with the power of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that is that extra boost, if you will, that we need to stay away from sin. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, to neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, and as he named, you know, our eyes, there's certain things that Christians should not be watching.
Right.
Our mouths, there's certain things that we as Christians should not be saying. Our ears, there's certain things as Christians that we should not be listening to. There's certain things that we shouldn't be handling with our hands. Our feet, there's certain places that we should not be going. All these things that are named with sin, we should not be running to or listening to or looking. There is a separation, and we're going to read on about those things, about being separated here also later in the book of Romans. Amen.
Yeah, I just want to say right quick, when you start off in the book of Romans, when he was saying about us being buried with him by baptism, being in Christ, we've been buried with him, and we put on Christ. So what I was going to say was, when you receive the Holy Ghost, just like someone said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, no doubt, Christ is in you, like the writer said in the book of Philippians, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way to get in Christ, you got to be baptized into Christ.
So you got to be, that's what he was saying. No, you're not. There's so many of us. He talking to people that are believers, as we said here, Romans 6 and 2, 4, 6 and 3. No, you're not. That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. He's asking a question. Then he goes on to say, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, just like as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. So, people, you should have an attitude and your desire not to do what you do. I don't want to go to the club and all those things that I used to do. I mean, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not crazy. We can see and all of that. And we know things that some things you can't watch on TV. You're a single person. You shouldn't be looking at love stories. You might want to go out and look up somebody. You know, you got to be careful what you do.
Amen.
Because your worst enemy is yourself. So you are on another level. It all depends on where you are. And the Bible even tells us about that. About if someone is single, they want to please God in their body and in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But a woman that's married, she want to please her husband.
That's right.
So everybody have different desires. So it all depends on where we are in God.
Amen. And just to add on to this, in the book of 1 Corinthians, he says that in the 6th chapter, 15th verse, it says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? So when you're baptized into Christ and the Holy Ghost, Christ in you, you are actually part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
That's what it means to be in Christ. You are part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
God created a body for himself, and we are part of that body. That body is continually made in this earth, even unto this day, but there will be a time when that body will be taken out of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
But we are members of Christ. We are part of that body.
Yes.
Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. So there's certain things that is not right for the members of Christ to be part of.
Yeah.
Because then you will make them part of a harlot or a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a harlot is a prostitute. So we there's many times where people that are supposed to be members of Christ are prostituting themselves out unto sins and lust. As we read down, it says in the 18th verse, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Now he's talking to a church.
Yeah.
He's talking to saved people. We are bought with a price.
Yeah.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We no longer belong to ourselves once we are in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We belong to God. We are God's property.
Yeah.
I know that term is used lightly in
right.
this day, but we are actually the property of God, and we should be used for the righteousness of God.
Yeah,
not for the righteousness of ourselves, not for the righteousness of anybody else, but for the righteousness of God we are to be used. And we should be doing all things to glorify him. And I know in this day there's a lot of people that do things in the name of God
yeah.
that are trying to glorify themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actually for the lack of a better term, pimping
yes.
the saints
yes.
and trying to take advantage of people with their business plans and with their scams.
Right.
But we are to be using everything that we do to glorify God.
Yeah.
And that's not cheating people. That's not fornicating with other members of the body of Christ, because you are sinning against your own body and bringing another person into sin. Fornication is a very dangerous thing within the church realm.
Yeah.
Because you are harming many people. Amen?
Amen.
So it is unrighteous and is unholy, and we should not be doing it. So now moving on in Romans the 6th chapter, 14th verse, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Grace is not a license to sin. That is not the purpose of grace. Grace is a place where we are protected from the bonds and from the grips of death and grips of sin that had control over us, that had dominion over us before our regeneration. But now that we are regenerated, we are new creatures. We are no longer under that dominion. We are no longer under that power, under that bondage. But we are free. We have liberty within Christ because we are walking in grace.
Amen.
You have to be in grace.
Yes.
But if you get out of grace, you are once again going under that dominion of sin and of death.
Yes.
And the example for this is when David was getting ready to die, he had a place for Shimei. Now, Shimei was of the house of Saul, and Shimei was when David was ran out of Jerusalem by his son, I believe it was Absalom, when he was ran out of the city, Shimei was cursing David and throwing rocks at him, and David let it go at that point in time, but when he came back, he quarantined Shimei into a certain place, and if Shimei was to leave that place, then he was to be put to death. And David told this thing to his son Solomon, and once Shimei left his place of grace, he was killed.
Yes.
So when you get out of grace, you are an open target for sin to kill you.
Yeah.
Because that's what sin is trying to do. That's what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to steal, he's trying to kill, and he's trying to destroy your soul. That is what the aim of the enemy is to get you out of grace and into a place where he can kill you.
Yeah.
So we have to be wise. We have to learn that we have to walk in grace and not look at after our own sight, after our fleshly minds, but we have to put on the mind of Christ. That is exactly what that means. You have to be thinking as Christ would,
yeah,
and walking with him. Not just what would Jesus do, what would Jesus think, what would Jesus act like, how would Jesus feel. What would Jesus, that you don't have to ask what would Jesus do because you have Jesus in you
exactly
telling you what to do. Amen?
Exactly. I think that's an ignorant term that people say, what would Jesus do? He would do just like what the word said that he intended for us to keep. So we can't be saying, what would he do? Is his word in you? Then do what he said.
Amen.
What would he do?
And if you love him, keep his commandments.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. Keep his commandments. So, and if you do anything against those commandments, there's no way that you can truly love him and until you repent of you transgressing against his commandment.
Yeah.
But as long as you're in the commandments, you are in his grace, you are in his favor. So now, moving on, it says, know ye not, verse 16, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants unto God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now, there was wages that you had while you were in sin. Death was a byproduct of sin. Once Adam sinned against God's commandment, death came into the human family.
Yes.
and it was a simple disobedience of eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that landed Adam in sin. Because sin is simply transgressing against God's law or God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And once you transgress against that, you are in sin.
Yeah.
So every man was in sin because we were born outside of the will of God. Because we were no longer, once Adam failed God, he was no longer in the image of God because the image of God is perfect. And once he was no longer perfect and he was subject unto sin, Adam now had his own image. It said that Seth was born in the image of Adam. He wasn't born in the image of God, but that image had to be restored. So how did the image get restored? The image came in a human body.
Yes. Yeah.
That image was Jesus Christ. The book of Colossians tells us that, and also the book of Hebrews tells us that he is the express image
of
the invisible God, of the person, of his person, not persons, because there's not three persons
right.
in the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. So he is that which is visible of that which was invisible. He was what you could see of the invisible God. And he was what, if you look into a mirror, you see a reflection of yourself. It's you in that mirror. It's
right.
a reflection of you. So Jesus Christ is the reflection of the Father. He is God. And he was how we saw God in this earth. Amen?
Amen, amen. And to come into the body of Christ, to become saved, and then to go back out and to commit sins, it's almost, if you will, a slap in the face to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I don't think a lot of times we really understand or try to digest, if you will, the actions that God took. We don't really think about what God actually did for mankind to restore that relationship that we had with God. He had to restore the image, and we're also now we're trying to obtain to that likeness. So we have to understand what God did for us, and I think if we really sit back and understand what exactly God did for mankind, I think it would make us hesitate, if you will, to be swift to run back out and to commit sin. We have to sow now to the flesh, as Paul told the Galatians. He told us that he that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. So that's going back, and that's kind of saying again what Elder Fountain read about the wages. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are, as I said, we are working for something here. There's people that have this belief that there's, you know, there's nothing that we can do to obtain heaven or to get to heaven. And we understand that the work on the cross, that was something that we could not do. But after we have been baptized, after we have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, there is work to be done. And that work is to abstain from a life of sin, and we're going to read on it, and it's not that we don't want to make it sound that it's easy, because every man is going to have his own struggles walking with Christ, and we're going to understand, and even Paul, one of the greatest men that we read about, he's going to go on, and he's going to tell us of the struggles that he has battling within the flesh and within the spirit as we get on in the book of Romans. So understand that it's not an easy task. But if you follow the roadmap that God has laid out for us, we know that heaven is obtainable, and a life without sin is also obtainable. Amen?
Amen.
And let me tell this story right quick. When I was first saved and just starting to learn the Bible and studying, I was very young in the scriptures. I came across a gentleman that said that he felt that it was no way that we could live up to the standard of Christ, and that there's no way that we could actually obtain unto holiness in this earth. And this man was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he had backslidden. He felt like he couldn't live up to that standard. Well, you can live up to that standard. The Holy Ghost will help you. And as we'll read on, the Holy Ghost will actually intercede for you in times of trouble, within yourself.
Yes.
There's times where you don't even know what you can say yourself in your prayers, and the Holy Ghost will intercede and take over for you and will help you through your struggle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even then, you have to be a person that's praying to have the Holy Ghost to intercede for you.
Yeah.
You're not just going to be walking down a road and the Holy Ghost stop you and start praying for you.
Right.
So, again, that shows that you have to put some type of effort forth for God to help you out. Amen.
Right. And I was going to say that's an insult for that individual to even say something like that. Because why would God expect you to do something that he knew that you couldn't do?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are able to do it. You know, just like the Bible said that we're going to have our difficulties. So if Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? And so what he's saying is we're going to have our difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to just barely make it in with all we're doing. You know, some people don't have understanding to say that. No,
amen.
We're going in mightily. I mean, we're going to be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I mean, you see me, and before the twinkling of an eye, before you can bat your eye. I don't even know how fast that is.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see me and I'm gone. What happened? It's going to be, if somebody is a pilot who is baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he driving a plane, Lord have mercy on them that's on there, because he's going to be gone. Somebody who's driving, Lord have mercy, because that car, it ain't going to have no captain driving it. So this is real. And, I mean, God didn't tell us to do something that he didn't know that we couldn't do. That's why he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He goes on to say, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Uh-huh.
So all we got to do is yield. That's the whole thing where people say, how did you yield? You just do it.
Uh-huh.
We yielded. That's what he said. We did yield to all that other stuff when we were out there. Now yield your members to servants of righteousness.
Amen.
So all we got to do is have that desire to want to do it. And of course, we got to get strong. People try to go back, and you can't go back and rescue your buddies. You got to get some strength yourself.
Amen.
You can't fight. You got to learn how to fight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when we learn how to do spiritual warfare, we're not going to be surprised, because we know the devil is throwing fiery darts at us. We got on the whole armor of God. We can stand against the wiles of the devil. And just like he said, above all that armor that we take, he said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
We use it, and the Lord will show us how to use it.
Amen.
We can use it without talking a lot of times.
And it is a process. God God is not going to send us out and not equip us with the tools that we need to make it. So that is another reason that he gave us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is so many things besides speaking in tongues. You know, a lot of people that come up against us, the first thing they want to talk about is us speaking in tongues. Well, that is just the evidence that you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the initial evidence. Now, there is a difference between speaking in tongues when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift. And we won't even touch on the gift.
Yeah.
But receiving the Holy Ghost is not just to speak in tongues. There's so many other things that come with receiving the Holy Ghost. And also, the Word of God itself, it was left for an example. We read this before, to show us how to do things.
Yeah.
And we also have to look that God himself clothed himself in flesh. The Bible says that he was tempted in all areas as like we are. So he knows what we're going through. You know, you have people that say, well, you know, put the shoe on the other foot. You know, you don't know what it's like to walk a mile in my shoes. Well, Jesus knows what it's like to walk as a man, because he did it himself. So after he did it, he obviously had the knowledge to give us the things that we would need to make it. God would not tell us to be holy, for I am holy, if it was not possible. He would not set an impossible task before us. But
no.
As Elder Cannon said, it takes work. And a lot of people use this example. You're not going to go into the gym never having lift weights before and put 315 pounds on the weight bench and think you're going to lift it up.
Right.
You're going to mess around and kill yourself.
Right.
There's a process. You have to build up. You start at a smaller weight, and you build your way up. And the longer and longer you walk with God, the more you'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. You'll understand the attacks of the enemy. That way you'll know how to defend yourself. You'll get an understanding of the scriptures. You'll understand there's certain places that I can and cannot go. A lot of times people, they fall in trouble because they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, or they're going places that they shouldn't be going.
Right.
And they're tempting themselves. It's not God tempting you, but you're tempting yourself. So we have to understand there is restrictions in Christ. Just like there's laws of the land that we have to abide by. And if you get yourself out of the boundaries of the law of the land, there's consequences.
Right.
You know, if the speed limit says you're supposed to be doing 70, you're not going to get pulled over by the police as long as you are under that speed limit. But the minute you go over that and they clock you, that's when you're going to get pulled over. That's when you'll get in trouble. So the same thing spiritually. If God is telling you, for instance, as Christians, we are not to be drinking. It is a sin to be drinking and getting drunk. Well, if I don't go to the bar, I'm going to be less tempted to go out and drink.
Right.
So if your friends and your buddies want to go out and drink, you have to tell them, I'm not going, because you may not be going with the intentions of drinking, but if you put yourself in that atmosphere, you are now tempting yourself. So we have to stay in the guidelines. We have to stay in the boundaries, as Elder Fonta said earlier, of grace. If we walk according to the path that God has given us, it's going to be that much more easier to walk with Him. Amen?
Right, right. And then, see, nobody wants the testimony that Jesus had. In reality, He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. I mean, they hated Him because of His very nature, because of who He was, and they were condemned. And then on the other hand, people that wanted to do right, they were drawn to Him. But like the Bible said, the hope of a hypocrite shall perish. So that's the thing that the problems that we have nowadays, and that is these hypocritical people, these so-called religious people are doing things in the name of the Lord. That's what the Lord is really mad about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, false prophets and all that kind of stuff. They're not right. And then you got folks that do have the truth. They're not doing right. So if you're wrong, you might as well come clean. And that's what people don't want to do. They think they can hide. I think some people really don't believe God. Because if you knew that the Bible said that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, and that is, you can't hide from God.
Mm-hmm.
God's word to get you. So we know our time is far spent. We got about 6 minutes left. So we're going to, I don't know if he's going to start off and venture off into the seventh chapter or not.
Well, we can, let me say that the seventh chapter, as we'll go into it, we'll go into it more in depth next week. The seventh chapter begins to talk about this internal struggle that goes on within us.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about the limits of the law of Moses, that the law could only do so much for you.
Yeah.
It could not justify you. It could only tell you where sin is. It only pointed out sin. It didn't help sin.
Yeah.
And it was telling us that it was only for... It could only do so much for us. There was limits to it. And there's an illustration of marriage being used. And once you are putting on Christ, you are no longer under the bounds of the previous marriage that you had, which was the law. So the law was in place at until the time of Jesus' death. And once he died and was resurrected again, we no longer are under the bounds of that law, but we now look unto Christ, and He is our bridegroom.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And we should be looking unto Him, and that everything that we do should be for Him. But now, there's still an inward struggle within mankind that we have to deal with every day. And this is what we've been talking about, that there is that struggle going on with us, and that there's a law of our members, and that there's a law of sin, and that there's a law of our mind that is all struggling within us,
mm-hmm.
that each want to do their own thing. Your flesh wants to do something. Your spirit wants to do something. Your soul wants to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to bring all those into subjection.
Yes.
And fall in line, and there's no way that we can do that under the law. But then when we move into the eighth chapter, we see that the Spirit
is our help.
Right. And that's what will help us put into subjection our flesh and put into subjection our souls. Amen?
Amen.
So we got 4 minutes. Is there any
And just understand, as Elder Fonta was explaining, that struggle between your flesh and the spirit. The strong man is always going to win. So if you're a person that is continually feeding your flesh by doing carnal things, if your day is always composed of nothing to do with God and everything to do with the world, then your flesh is going to win that battle. And when you get into spiritual trouble, you're not going to be able to get out of that situation very easily, because your spirit, man, is very weak. But on the other hand, if you're constantly feeding your spirit, if you're praying, if you're reading, if you're studying, if you're coming to church, if you're coming to Bible study like you're supposed to be doing, those struggles, we're still going to be met with those struggles, but you will be able to overcome those tests and those trials easily, because the spirit, man, is the stronger one. So, and it's nice that Paul has actually mapped this out. If you go through it, and that's the beautiful thing about the scriptures, is the way that it's put together, if you will, it's an order, and there's an order to everything that God has done. And as we said before, he started out by showing that all men were guilty to sin, and then he's walking us through and showing us our way out of sin, and then he's going to show us how we can stay out of sin. So now that's what we're coming up to. We're coming up to Paul is going to be dealing with the struggle. After that, he's going to show us, as I was saying, some of the attributes of the Holy Ghost and why we need it in this lifetime. So I would encourage you all to stay with us as we continue to venture on through the book of Romans. And I think something else that we may try to do next week is try to go back and show you some of the things that were instituted under the law, so we can see how blessed we are not to be under the law anymore. Amen. And also to show you that under the law, no man would have been able to obtain to perfection in Christ. It was not possible. So that's another reason that Christ had to come. He had to come and do away with the law and give us grace. And it is through grace that we are able to live up to all the standards of God. Amen.
Right. And then we're going to see, like, say, as he mentioned, Elder Clifton mentioned, when we get into the eighth chapter, says the law couldn't do, it was weak through the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And then I believe the fourth verse, the eighth chapter, says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So that was God's plan, the righteousness of the law be fulfilled in us. Just like we said, he took it out of a box. So that is having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So these people were believers. They had their struggles. But Apostle Paul, as Elder Fountain mentioned in the beginning, this letter, his desire was to come unto them, that he might impart unto them some spiritual gift, because he had heard of their faith. So with that, we know our time is far spent. And so we look forward to continuing on next week in the great infallible Word of God, as Peter said, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness.
God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.